Hello, and thank you for joining me today for another edition of Quiet Moments. Today we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 14, looking particularly at the section where Christ walks on the water. In Matthew chapter 14, we find, previous to verse 22, that Christ had fed the thousands of people who were there, who had been listening to him preach and teach. He fed the 5,000, which does not include the does not include the women and children. So that number could easily be in between 10 and 15,000 people that he fed on that occasion. And interestingly, it's interesting to note that also when that occasion has finished, they actually gather. When they gather up all the baskets, they have more food when it's over with than they did when they began. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, this is immediately following that occasion of feeding those thousands and thousands of people. Notice here what the Bible says, beginning in Matthew 14, in verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. The multitudes being the thousands of people whom he has just fed. And he is sending his disciples ahead of him in advance to go across the other side of the sea using the boat there in verse 22. And there's no doubt in my mind that when he sends the multitudes away, he's doing so in a very compassionate way. After all, he just fed them all. He wouldn't be angry. He's just sending them away. Verse 23 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." So it's interesting to note that probably from the time he fed the thousands of people to the time where now he is, as we're going to see in a moment, looking at verse 25, it's going to be by the time he gets to the sea, this the fourth watch of the night, that these are hours that are passing. We don't know for sure how long it took to feed those thousands of people, but there's a time period there between after he feeds them, sends them away, and then goes up to the mountain to pray, and then going to the sea, there's probably at least a few hours there. And so he's up on the mountain praying there in verse 23. The Bible says, when evening came, he was alone there praying. Verse 24 says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea," the boat being the boat with the disciples, "was in the middle of the sea, not by the coast, not by the edge of the water, but he was on the middle of the sea." And I pointed that out because some critics would say, well, the boat where they were, it looked like he was walking on the sea, but they weren't that far. He just came walking out along the coast to them, and they could call out to him. But that's not the case. The Bible is very specific there in verse 24 when the Bible says it was in the middle of the sea. And it was tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That is, it was a storm, as we're going to see here in a moment. And verse 25 says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea." Now we find here that the fourth watch of the night is between 3 and 6 a.m. And so he comes to them, we would say, literally in the middle of the night. Between 3 and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night. The Bible says there in verse 25, he came to them in the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Not walking near the sea, not walking along the coast of the sea, but walking on the sea. The idea there being he was walking on the surface of the water. Looking at verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea," again, the Bible says they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Now, if they saw someone walking along the coast, what would they be afraid of? Well, there's someone there walking along the coast. But walking on the sea is the reason why they were afraid, because no one has ever done that before. No one has ever walked on the sea. So we look here in verse 26, what they're seeing is causing fear because he is doing something that mankind has never done before. And up until that point, no man has ever walked across the sea. Christ was the only one. Interestingly enough, Peter would be the only other person to do it, as he's granted that power, as we'll see here in a few moments as we continue reading. They cried out for fear, verse 27, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid,'" verse 27. So he wants them to not freak out. It's me, it's Jesus, right? Now we're looking at verse 29 and verse 30. We find Peter's zeal and also Peter's fear. Verse 29 says, "So he said, 'Come,'" excuse me, verse 28 rather. Verse 28, 29 and verse 30. Verse 28, we find Peter's desire to go to Christ. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to go to you on the water." Now he wants to come to Christ. He asks Christ that he will command him, that is, grant him the ability to meet him on the surface of the water. He had to say that. Otherwise, if Peter just hopped out of the boat, he'd have to swim to him. So what we find here in verse 20 is Peter's asking him to give him the ability to come to him on the water. That is, let me walk to you on the water. Now, it's interesting that, thinking about Peter's character, it's interesting that, you read him asking for that. And because of his character and his personality, you've seen already in the Gospels and that we will see later, it's interesting that he didn't just sprint to Christ in the water, because his zeal was one that was incredible. It wasn't always all well thought out, but he had a great deal of zeal for the cause of Christ. And so he asked the Lord if he would permit him to come, verse 29. So he said, as Christ said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was the second person in the history of time to walk on the water. Christ was the first, Peter was the second. Now we're going to notice here, of course, Christ does it better. We look here at verse 29. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now you would think, now it's easy for us today to look back and be the Monday morning quarterback and say, we would never done what Peter did. We would never would have allowed our faith to waver. After all, we're walking in the water to go to Christ. Now, in all reality, did Peter have any reason to fear, as we'll see here in a moment? No, he had nothing to fear. Christ just showed compassion to thousands of people. He is coming to them now, coming back to the disciples. He didn't just leave them. He's coming to them in the middle of the night, which says that he was coming back no matter what. If you weren't going to come back, one of the reasons people don't come back today, you think about today, we go to someone's house at between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. No, we'd probably wait and go later in the day, right? But Christ does not do that. He comes the fourth watch of night, showing that he was going to come back, and he was going to come back no matter what time it was. And so he comes back, he walks in the water to them. Peter calls out now to allow him to come to him in the water. He is permitted to do so in verse 29. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, this is Peter, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So he walks in the water in verse 29, right? The Bible says he walked on the water, so he's currently walking on the water. But he turns in verse 30, and he sees the wind, he sees the storm, and he was afraid. Now, the lesson for us to learn here is, when did Peter become afraid? The second he took his eyes off Christ. Because he forgot, hey, I'm already walking on water. What am I afraid of? Christ isn't going to allow anything to happen to me. After all, I'm walking in water to go to him. Who cares about the storm? But that's not what happens. Instead, he's walking in the water, but then he turns and sees a storm, and he begins to become afraid. And because he becomes afraid, we find there in verse 29, the Bible says, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye little faith, why did you doubt? Now, Peter, as you look at the events that have transpired in that short period of time, Peter had seen a lot of new things that day. You might call that day a day of new, because he saw thousands of people fed with just a couple loaves of bread and two fish. And he saw that when that was all done, that they actually had more left over than when they began. He saw the incredible compassion of Christ. He saw Christ now walking in the water to them, doing something that had never been able to do, no one's ever been able to do before. He is now walking in the water to go to Christ. He sees a storm. He's afraid, begins to sink. You picture a man who's probably, his mental frame of mind is that he's probably exhausted. Not only is he mentally exhausted, he's probably physically exhausted. Because when you see things like that, it takes a lot out of you. Have you ever gone to a funeral that it's a long funeral, you hear a lot of people talking, you consider things that's happened, consider loss of your loved one, whatever it may be. It can be mentally draining. Peter saw people eating food that Christ miraculously multiplied to the degree that he fed between 10,000 and 15,000 people easily and had more left over. And now the second thing he sees, just in this occasion, he sees Christ walking in the water. And then he sees Christ giving him the ability, permitting him to walk in the water to him. And when he sees his storm, to me, it's like it's just one thing that was just too much for him. Was he afraid? Yes. There's no doubt he was afraid. But I think he was just, not only was he possibly just afraid, but also possibly he was just overwhelmed. He didn't know what to think. But fear most definitely had a part of it, because Christ tells him here, why are you afraid? The mind of man is finite. we can only comprehend so much. When he sees a storm, he goes back into the man, not say he goes back into the human mind where, okay, it's a storm, I need to get back in the boat. He forgets that he's walking in the water to the Son of God. And look at verse 31. The Bible says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Now, we see in verse 29, he begins to sink and cries out. And the Bible says in verse 31, how long did it take the Lord to save him? The Bible says, immediately. Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. That quickly. Now, the Bible doesn't say if Christ pulls him up to the water and then speaks these words to him, or if he catches him and then speaks these words and then pulls him up. In my opinion, this is just how I think of it, and this is just my opinion. But when I look at verse 31, I picture Christ catching him, speaking to him, and then lifting him up. Is that how it took place? Who knows? But that's how I picture it in my mind. Whether or not that's true or not, I have no way of proving that. But we look at verse 31. He catches him, and he says to him, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got to the boat, notice that he picked him up and get in the boat. It seems like they got in the boat together. And the wind ceased. Everything stopped. You know, it's probably at that moment, hopefully it's at that moment that Peter realized, there's nothing to be afraid of. Christ is here. I mean, the moment he steps on the boat, everything literally stops. When Christ comes onto the scene, everything changes. He comes back to them. They're afraid. He calms them. Peter asks to come out to him. Okay, Peter, come out. They're afraid of the storm. He lifts him up, says, there's no reason to be afraid. He gets in the boat. Everything is calm. We think about, you know, Peter has been ridiculed a lot about what happens here in Matthew 22. He sinks. Others will say, well, he's the only one that got out of the boat. And yes, he did. But he's also the only one that sank. Because he got out of the boat, he's also the only one that sank through the water. But we think about Peter. You can never grow closer to Christ and never grow closer to God if you're not willing to get out of your comfort zone. That is, you're not willing to do things you haven't done in the past. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean some dramatic change that's unscriptural. I mean, you step out of your comfort zone by, say, you start studying 3 times a week, 4 times a week instead of twice. You start studying, you know, reading your Bible every single day instead of just a couple days a week for 5 minutes. What Peter did, he took a big step to grow closer to Christ. And for us today, we too, sometimes have to take a big step in the form of giving more dedication and more time and more effort to grow closer to Christ. So you think about these things today, Peter took a big step in order to try to come closer to Christ, not necessarily just physically, but also in a spiritual way as well. And so we too sometimes have to take big steps to grow closer to Christ so that we can learn more about him and know more about him, not stepping out of the scriptures, but doing more than we've done in the past. And when Peter stepped out of the boat, he did it alone. But rest assured, he's the only one that did. And sometimes we too will be the only one to step out of the boat to grow closer to God and to Christ.
As always, I thank you for tuning in today. For those who are watching and those who are just listening to the audio version of this, I thank you for joining me. I thank you for listening and for encouraging others to do the same. As always, you can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us on our website at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As always, we thank you for listening.